I'd call the House Transportation Committee to order. Today is May 9th. The time is 1:08 p.m. Members present are Representative Tallarico, Representative Story, Representative Rasmussen, Representative Drummond, Representative Klayman, myself, Chair Wool. We have Eileen Keim as the moderator and Julia Bushman as recording secretary. Our committee aide is Ann Ritgers. Today we have one bill on our agenda, SB 75, an act relating to a license to drive a commercial motor vehicle, sponsored by Senator Costello. And at this point, we can have Joe Plesha, staff to Senator Costello, up to the table.
So good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Joe Plesha, legislative aide to Senator Costello. And I'm here to testify on Senate Bill 75, an act relating to a license to drive a commercial motor vehicle. Senator Costello sends her regards. She is unable to make it to today's hearing. She sends her thanks, though, for hearing the bill today. So after speaking with stakeholders in the trucking industry, our office identified two problems that they are currently facing. One, the demand for drivers in Alaska exceeds the available workforce. And two, there is a federal statute on interstate freight that mandates drivers must be 21 or older to carry any freight that originated from outside of Alaska or is bound for outside of Alaska. Senate Bill 75 intends to help address these issues. So first, it will change the minimum age requirement to obtain your commercial driver's license from 19 years old to 18 years old, which will increase the pool of available drivers. One of the problems the industry is currently having with recruitment is that because of the 19-year-old age restriction, for a commercial driver's license, they can't recruit young men and women coming out of high school. By lowering the age restriction for commercial driver's license by a year, young adults who don't want to or can't seek a higher education or go to trade school could move directly into this line of work. Less than half of Alaska students go to college currently. By moving the age restriction from 19 to 18, we can help offer young people an immediate career option that pays well. This change will increase job opportunities for our youth and help Alaska's trucking industry meet their needs. The second change Senate Bill 75 does is it creates a subsection that will authorize someone who is currently 21 or under 21 but is 18 or older to drive interstate freight or freight that has originated from outside of Alaska or is bound for outside of the state. Currently, there are federal laws restricting drivers across the country from carrying interstate freight if you're younger than 21, and in Alaska, this law is particularly cumbersome. So let's say we have a trailer of cargo that shipped from Seattle to the Port of Alaska. It's then moved through the Alaska Railroad to Fairbanks. Once that trailer is unloaded, federal law says that a 19-year-old driver cannot deliver it 2 miles away because the cargo originated from outside of Alaska. I would argue this federal law is overly cumbersome and illogical. It restricts job opportunities for our young people and burdens our trucking industry. The new subsection would allow for Alaskans who are 18 and older and who otherwise would fit the requirement necessary to obtain their commercial driver's license operate trucks with interstate freight dependent on a change on the in the federal statute. The purpose of this subsection being included does two things. First, we're hoping that if enough states make this statute change, there will be pressure on the federal side to make the change on their books as well. Second, if the federal statute does change, Alaska will be instantly ready to accommodate the new federal law. In closing, Senator Costello's office views Senate Bill 75 as a potential jobs bill that is being proactive if the federal statute for interstate freight does change. I thank the committee for your time today, and I'm happy to take any questions you might have.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Drummond.
Thank you. This is, I thought this was going to be fairly straightforward, but it's pretty confusing. So you're saying that when freight comes to the port of Anchorage from Seattle or Tacoma or some other port on the West Coast, and it is then transferred to vehicles within the state, and it moves around the state, a driver under the age of 21 can't drive that truck because that freight came from outside. Well, that literally applies to everything. Almost everything that comes into the state of Alaska comes from someplace else. Does it change when that freight is offloaded within the state and reloaded onto a different trailer? Can an 18 or 19-year-old driver then drive it, since it is no longer in its original container from the outside port?
So, through the chair, Representative Drummond, I'm not sure specifically when the cargo becomes no longer becomes interstate freight. Currently, the situation as described to me, if it comes straight from the port of Alaska, it's still interstate freight. And if it's bound for outside of Alaska, even if you're just driving it down to Anchorage, it's still interstate freight. But you are correct. Most of the freight in Alaska is, of course, interstate freight because it comes from outside of Alaska. So I'm not sure specifically when it becomes, when the definition it becomes interstate freight. I would refer that question to our Aves Thompson, who is invited testimony, who will be testifying next. I think he'd be able to.
Yeah, we do have two people for invited testimony. And follow-up?
Yeah. Yep. So, and you also just reiterated that if freight is originating within the state but is heading outside, then a 19-year-old driver can't drive it within the state even before it has left the state?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, that is correct, yes.
Follow-up?
Follow-up.
So I'm trying to figure out when can 19-year-olds actually drive freight within the state. It's at the point at which it is no longer in the original container from outside, I guess. I'm thinking specifically, I'm a graphic designer, I buy printing paper, that sort of thing. That comes in a container from the Seattle area or other points. It gets unloaded and delivered to the paper houses in Anchorage, and from that point it is delivered throughout the state after it's offloaded into the warehouse. And I assume at that point the 19-year-old drivers can currently drive that freight, even though it originated outside, but it's now inside of Alaska and bound for points inside Alaska from the warehouse where it's been unloaded from its original container.
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, again, I would probably refer to Aves Thompson for this, but I believe that it would be intrastate freight at that point.
Okay, interesting.
Representative Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two questions. One is, are you currently aware, is there any data that shows a difference in the number of accidents that 18 and 19-year-olds have, like car accidents?
So most of the, through the chair, Representative Rasmussen, most of the data that we have collects, it brackets 18 and 19-year-olds in the same group. I looked at the Highway Loss Data Institute study, and they actually found that 19-year-olds got in crashes at higher rates than 18-year-olds. I would assume that it might be just because of more drivers. I can't speak to why that is, but there isn't, I think, a statistically significant increase in danger in having 19-year-olds to 18-year-olds.
Thank you, and then a quick follow-up.
Follow-up.
My other question is, do we currently have programs that you guys are aware of? Because I know obtaining a CDL is pretty expensive. So if they're not doing something through a trade program or a college course, are there opportunities available for them to obtain loans for getting their CDL?
Through the chair, Representative Rasmussen, I'm not familiar with any programs, but I would Aves Thompson might be able to speak to that. A little more clearly.
Questions? Representative Story?
Yes, thank you. I have a couple questions. One was, you mentioned other states, and so I was curious about how many other states have changed or the law and have let 18-year-old drivers drive. And then my other one is having to do with insurance. I know many insurance companies do not let drivers drive under certain ages, and so I'm wondering how trucking companies would be able to use these drivers, since many don't you can't buy insurance till like they're a certain age or it's higher.
Through the chair, Representative Story. So currently, every state except I believe six require you to be 18 to obtain your commercial driver's license. In Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, you have to be 21 to obtain your commercial driver's license. Again, this is all for intrastate freight. And in Maine and South Dakota, you have to be 16 to obtain your commercial driver's license, and Mississippi is 17. But every other state in the the nation has an 18-year-old requirement to obtain your commercial driver's license. And then as far as the second question, yes, obviously, you know, insurance companies, when you're assuming risk, they obviously take age into a factor. You know, I would assume each company would make their own decision based on, you know, the responsibility of the driver. They obviously want to make sure that these rigs are, you know, driven by responsible individuals. But I'm not sure, you know, I would assume there would be an increase in risk the younger the driver, though, under 21.
Thank you.
Representative Rasmussen.
This isn't, thank you through the chair, this is more of a follow-up comment, I guess, to Representative Story, but I do know that a lot of insurance companies offer good grades discounts. I don't know if that's something that would apply for commercial purposes, but an 18-year-old that's freshly out of high school that shows a, you know, high 3 point, you know, above a 3.5 GPA or something, I think it's just a B average, so above a 3.0 could qualify for good grade discount to show responsibility.
You have a question? Representative Tallarico.
More of a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Let me ask a question.
Okay.
And then I'll. You mentioned the accident difference between 18s and 19s. What about 18, 19, and 21 plus? I mean, imagining as drivers get older, there's less accidents, and that's probably perhaps some of the reasoning that the interstate law is 21 plus, as especially with dealing with big commercial trucks, that people don't want accidents. So do you have data on that?
Through the chair, I don't have data, and actually the data I was referring to didn't reference commercial driving. It was only referencing just 18 and 19-year-old drivers across the country. I don't have any data on commercial drivers and accident rates, but
A follow-up to that is most states are 18, some are 16, 17, some are 21. Do you know what the history of Alaska's 19 law is, and why not, how'd they come up with 19? Do you know, is it they didn't want kids in high school because you could be 18 and still be in high school, or do you know the history?
Mr. Chairman, I do not know the history of that.
No. Okay. Comments? Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to mention that, you know, if you've had a CDL endorsement before, probably something that helps with insurance and quite a few other things. It's quite a bit more rigorous testing to get approved for a CDL. It's not like your regular driver's license for sure, and there are several different endorsements. There are Class A and Class B endorsements and endorsements for pulling doubles and all kinds of different things. And Class B would be to haul passengers and things like that. But it's a reasonably rigorous test compared to your regular driver's test, and I think that probably comes into play. I don't think everybody passes their CDL exam the first time they take it. I'm sure it probably makes a difference to everyone if you actually have that endorsement. You've gone through something that's quite a bit more rigorous than just a regular driver's license.
Okay. I think we're ready for invited testimony at this point, seeing no other questions or comments from the committee. So I will ask Aves Thompson, if you're on the line.
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, if you could state your name, affiliation, and your testimony, and maybe stick around for some questions.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Aves Thompson, Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association. The Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our nearly 200 member companies from Barrow to Ketchikan. Freight movement is an essential element of our economy and impacts all of us each and every day. I'm here today to testify in support of Senate Bill 75. The ATA believes that lowering the eligibility for an intrastate CDL will provide a path for a young man or woman to start on their way to a truck driving career. Both intrastate and interstate drivers are subject to the same driver qualifications, the same medical, safety, and equipment rules. The state of Alaska adopts the federal rules by reference in the Alaska Administrative Code. I might also call to your attention, your attention to the fact that an 18-year-old can be issued a commercial pilot's license. the lowering of the intrastate driver age requirement to 18 allows a student to go from school right into training to be a professional truck driver. The CDL will not instantly create a professional truck driver, but it will create an opportunity. We think this is a great opportunity for our young people, as well as building a larger driver pool to help satisfy the increased demand for commercial vehicle drivers. Again, to reiterate, there is a commercial driver shortage, which will only get worse if we begin a major project. The passage of Senate Bill 75 will help solve the problem in Alaska. Subsequently, when Congress passes a law lowering the interstate driving age, Alaska will be ready. The Alaska Trucking Association urges you to move Senate Bill 75 with favorable recommendations. Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, if I might, I could probably try to address some of the questions that have been asked earlier.
Sure. Why don't you do that, and then we'll probably have some more for you.
Let me start with Representative Drummond and your paper example, and wondering when freight becomes intra or inter. If you order freight for your business, or I'm sorry, if you order paper for your business, and it's a special order that has to come from outside, it's you say, I want 100 boxes of this delivered to my shop. So they order it from outside, it comes in, and by the time it gets to your shop, it is still interstate freight. If, on the other hand, if you call your paper supplier and say, I want 100 reams of this, and he says, oh yeah, I've got that in stock, then that is intrastate freight because it has come into inventory and is not destined for any place other than that store. So moving then from that store to your place is intrastate freight. Does that help a little bit?
Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Thompson. Thank you very much. That's approximately what I had assumed, that once it is delivered to the paper warehouse in Anchorage and then distributed from that point, then it is intrastate freight.
Right. Okay. Take the furniture store example. Mm-hmm. If you go to the furniture store and you see a chair that you like, and you say, I'd like to have that one, but I'd like it to be red instead of green, and the furniture store says, well, I will special order that for you. And that special order comes in, it's got your name on it, your delivery location. That then is interstate freight. If you tick the red one instead of the green one and just have them deliver it to your home, that's intrastate.
Can I ask you a question with that exact example? So, if I order a chair and they have it in the furniture store in Fairbanks, for example, the delivery truck for that store, their little box truck, can bring it to my house and a 19-year-old can deliver it.
If I
special ordered it, comes out of Seattle warehouse, goes to the same store, that same guy driving the same truck, oh, that's the red chair from Seattle, we got to get someone over 21 to deliver it, and that would be the only way they could follow the law, correct?
Name on it and your delivery location.
Wait. Oh, I see, because I ordered it from Seattle. Okay, now we're going down the rabbit hole. Representative Drummond.
Wait, I'm sorry. That absolutely makes no sense. Almost every stick of furniture sold in the state of Alaska, every sheet of paper sold in the state of Alaska is manufactured outside and comes here. I seriously think that I forget what it was, a red chair that's being special ordered for you, once it's delivered to the furniture warehouse in Fairbanks and then is delivered, then can be delivered to you, it is just like the green chair that was on display in the store. It has become intrastate freight. However, I suspect that if Linden Transport, like they do for me occasionally, brings me a pallet of goods from IKEA, from Tacoma, into Anchorage, and Linden transports it directly to my house, that freight has not left Linden's purview, and it's still interstate freight when they drop ship it to my driveway. So I still think that once the item changes hands inside the state and changes locations and is moved from one vehicle to another, or to a where from a vehicle, an in interstate vehicle to a warehouse or a store in Alaska, then from that point it becomes intrastate freight because it can be delivered anywhere else in Alaska as long as it hasn't changed out of its original vehicle, is what I suspect.
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, you'd have to take that one up with the U.S. Department of Transportation because they're the folks that make the rules.
That's Representative Klayman.
Aves, thanks for calling in today. The state has adopted the federal regulations about all these things about commercial trucking into the state regulations. So does that mean today, even though our law says 19, because the federal regulations say 21, that everyone that's driving a commercial vehicle needs to be 21?
No, anyone that's transporting, I'm sorry, through the chair, Representative Klayman, it means that anyone who is transporting interstate freight must be 21.
All right.
Follow-up?
Go ahead, follow-up.
So can you give me a simple example of some intrastate freight with a tractor-trailer rig that's being moved within Alaska that is not destined, either starting in Alaska and finishing in Alaska? Well, yeah, give me a couple of examples that don't involve these things that started in Seattle, for lack of a better
term. Sand and gravel to a construction project. Fuel from a fuel terminal to a delivery location. Coal from the Healy Power Plant or the Healy Plant to the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Bulk products, things that are made in Alaska, that are delivered in Alaska, are intrastate.
Okay. Thank you. Then another follow-up.
Once you bring something into a general inventory, it loses its identity, so in federal parlance. And once it loses its identity, then it becomes intrastate freight.
And that's why the chair, if it has a box with my name on it, even if it goes through this furniture store and is delivered by a local smaller truck, because it's not incorporated into the general inventory, still remains interstate, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you. Representative Klayman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, and I know this isn't technically part of this bill, this is more a curiosity. I know under the federal DOT regulations, there's a lot of drug and alcohol testing, particularly testing to marijuana. Does that apply, would that apply with the state driving, regardless of whether it was interstate or intrastate, or would those drug testing requirements only apply when the federal regulations apply?
Through the chair, Representative Klayman, those same drug and alcohol testing and other requirements apply to both intra and interstate drivers.
Okay. I know that's not part of this bill, but I'm just curious. Last follow-up.
You'll go ahead. Representative Klayman.
So if we pass this bill, or it gets passed by the legislature, then it would mean that coal truck drivers could be 18 and get out of high school and start learning to drive the coal trucks or the gas delivery trucks, and they could start at 18, but today they can't start that until they're 19.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Through the chair, I might add to Representative Tallarico's example of, I lost it there. I'm sorry. Let's move on, please. It'll come to me.
Okay. I have a question for you. If part of this bill, by changing our age, is to further give an impetus to the federal government to lower their age, it sounds like most every state has done that. Is that federal law any closer to changing? And I can't imagine Alaska passing would be the straw that broke the camel's back, but how is the federal law going?
Well, no, Mr. Chairman, Alaska probably won't break that logjam, but there is currently a bill in the Congress, it's called the DRIVE Act, which provides for pilot programs for younger drivers, for 18-year-olds. It provides, sets some minimum training requirements. It sets some equipment requirements. For example, an automatic or an automated assist transmission in the trucks. and a number of other things that ensure that the training is proper, that the training is adequate to meet the needs. And as you look at a common carrier, and as a prudent business person, he or she's not going to send some kid out on the highway with a $500,000 tanker or a $65,000 straight truck without knowing in their mind that they're safe and that they're going to get the freight where it belongs and that their drivers are going to get home safely at night. So I think it's coming. I think the 18-year-old is coming. I'm not sure it's going to happen this year or maybe even next, but there will be time.
It is. When I first heard the bill being introduced, I thought they were going to say that the law says you can't drive between two states unless you're 21. But instead, it was about freight origin and destination. And of course, Alaska, there's not a lot of travel between states. Same with Hawaii. Is there a chance that they could change the 21? I don't know. I guess I shouldn't really go into the federal law of it right now. But I can see them saying, well, yeah, if you're driving across the whole country, you might have to be 21. But if you're driving within a certain state, being 18 is fine. And I don't know if that's anything anyone's – that would allow Alaska to have under 21 drivers as long as they're not driving from here to California.
Mr. Chairman, in the FAST Act that passed several years ago, there was a provision that would have provided for a pilot program for 18-year-old drivers. And we approached our congressional delegation asking if they could carve out an exemption for Alaska and Hawaii because of the high rate of interstate freight, as Representative Drummond had indicated earlier. Most everything that we have has come from someplace else. And that means that it was all interstate freight when it was delivered. So in the intrastate field, you're limited to, as I said, the bulk commodities, coal and the sand and the fuel and things like that. But so we think that, we approached the congressional delegation. They took a shot at it. It didn't go anywhere. So the American Trucking Association now is looking at this and is supporting the DRIVE Act, which will provide for 18-year-old drivers on a pilot program with all those training requirements that I had indicated.
Thank you. Representative Rasmussen had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Thompson, do you know if the state currently, is it a state or federal thing, as far as the limiting for the number of times a person can take their CDL test in a given time frame if they fail the first time?
Through the chair, Representative Rasmussen, I think there's a time frame, but it's not a lot. It's 5 or 10 days, but I'm not sure. Please don't quote me on that one.
Okay. Quick follow-up.
And
then is there currently a requirement to have a diploma or GED as part of your CDL?
There is not.
Thank you.
Mr. Thompson, do you know why the law is 19 as opposed to 18?
Chairman, I don't know. I think it was an arbitrary number that was picked. We've asked the question of DMV a number of times before, and there doesn't seem to be any history on why it's 19 instead of 18.
What about people in the military driving big machines and trucks and what have you? I see them driving around town all the time, convoys. Do they have to be 19? Do they need a CDL, or are they on a whole different program?
Through the chair, or Mr. Chair, if they're driving a military vehicle and on duty, on active duty, then they are governed by the federal rules, by their own military federal rules. And it bears similarities, but they're not exactly the same.
What if they're driving on state roads, say between Anchorage and Fairbanks, with big trucks hauling? Military. Okay.
Military rules.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm still completely flummoxed by this intrastate freight. Okay. I have a question for you, Mr. Thompson. that I've been thinking about.
I'll try.
Thank you. And this may not be the appropriate place. It sounds like we've got some work to do with our federal delegation.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining that this creates a lot of issues for our local suppliers of all kinds. So here's my question. So kitchen cabinets are ordered by a builder from Seattle through Spinard Builder Supply. Because they have the builder's name on them when they arrive in state, even though they may be offloaded into Spinard Builder's facility in Anchorage and then reshipped to the construction site, are these still considered interstate freight and must therefore be driven from Spinard Builder's to the construction site by a 21-year-old driver?
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, yes.
Follow up.
But
if the builder instead buys the cabinets that are already in Spinard Builder Supply's inventory, even though those cabinets originally came from the same outside supplier as the special order cabinets, these cabinets can now be delivered by a 19-year-old driver within the state because they became part of Spinard Builder's general inventory before they were sold.
Through the chair, Representative Drummond, yes, again.
That just sounds like a terrific headache for Spinard Builder Supply, and I would love to hear from somebody in the business on if this really is a problem right now, and should we be working on this in addition to this general license change?
Mr. Thompson is
Chair, Representative Drummond. These interstate rules have been in place since the railroad days in the late 1800s, and they were incorporated into the Interstate Commerce Act of 1935 that set the rules for trucking, and the trucking industry has learned to live with them over the years. And so you know that you have some loads that are interstate, some loads that are intrastate. You know that the interstate load has to be driven by a interstate CDL driver. The same load, you know, the two Spinard loads that you talked about, you could have two trucks side by side. One's being delivered out of inventory, the other's being special ordered, and you've got a CDL for an interstate required for one and an intrastate required for the other one. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's the way it is.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Thompson, a couple questions. Using the Spinard's example, first of all, is this law enforced ever? Do you ever have a 18-year-old driver, 19-year-old driver, fined or cited for having a couch that originated in Seattle in his truck? I can't imagine that happens very often.
It would depend. If it's an intrastate carrier who's handling interstate loads, the likelihood is low. If it's an interstate carrier that's regulated by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, that kind of activity might be caught in an audit. But there's rarely any roadside enforcement
of
that rule.
So the trucks aren't, like, if Spinard's has a couple trucks going out that day, they don't label one inter and intra, and, you know, this guy has to drive this one, and you can't drive this one, and
Mr. Chairman, I think they do that, but, you know, every once in a while I might make a mistake.
Okay, all right. I won't go down that. And Representative Story.
I got my question answered. Okay. I might want to draw to everyone's attention. and I see on the fiscal note that of the 31,000 CDL drivers, only 33 of those were issued to applicants under the age of 21.
Right. Yeah, thank you, Representative Story, for pointing that out. I was going to say most drivers at most companies are probably over 21, and maybe some companies have a policy of a minimum age of 20. Do often trucking companies have an age policy in place anyways?
Is that for me, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I guess, and maybe if they did, this bill wouldn't.
More often than not, it's driven by the insurance company. And some insurance companies like drivers older than 25, some like them older than 30, some like them a little younger. As you might guess, the younger the driver, the premiums are probably a little higher. But but it's a business decision that the motor carrier makes to determine whether, in fact, he or she's willing to pay that because they need a driver.
Right. I got it. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Thompson, any more questions? Seeing none, we have other invited testimony. Don Etheridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Name's Don Etheridge with the Alaska AFL-CIO, and here to testify in support of this piece of legislation. A lot of our apprenticeship programs require a CDL in their first 2,000 hours. And if you got somebody just right out of high school that joins into one of our apprenticeship programs, they reach that 2,000 hours and they're kind of on hold until they can get that CDL. So they're not allowed to move forward with any of their training. So that's one of the main reasons that we've supported this, so that we can get them through their apprenticeship training with their CDLs and continue with their training that way. In a previous life, I was I was the chairman of the board for SAGA, which is a training group for at-risk youth. And programs like this were really helpful at trying to keep kids on the straight and narrow and keep them from getting into trouble, dropping out of school completely. We would work with them in house building, trails work, and all that. And if we can keep the kids busy, a lot of times they don't get into trouble. And one of the things that I think that this will do is it will give some of these guys a life lesson. And it was amazing when we were doing this how many kids went back to school after working for a year and decided work wasn't what they wanted to do, and they went back to school and finished getting their diplomas and graduating. But we had a lot of those guys that we were able to take into our apprenticeship programs and put them to work, making a career. One of the other good things about kids with the CDL, they have to, if they're working that CDL, they have to be in a random drug test. So we know whether or not they're going to be taking drugs or not, and they know when they get that CDL, they're very well informed that you take and get in trouble with that CDL with drugs or alcohol, you're going to lose your license. And so that's really keeps a lot of these guys paying attention to what's going on. And as Representative Tallarico said, it's not an easy license to get. You don't just run out there in one day and get a CDL. It takes time. I've tutored a lot of different people in getting their CDLs. And I've carried one now for about 25 years, and they're not easy to get. You have to work to get that CDL, and you have to study to get it. So,
thank you, Don. Thank you. Any questions? Seeing and hearing none. Any comments, questions, committee?
Brief comment.
Go ahead, Representative Clement.
I would just note, I think this is a good bill. It's an illumination of the complex world in which trucking goes on, and even though we think about it here in the Alaska situation down in the lower 48, the notion of much freight that doesn't go across state lines is even more unlikely. I mean, you have certain things, certainly sand and gravel, but if you're across the border from between Portland, Washington, and Oregon, you probably have all kinds of materials crossing the border. And so the reality is that you can get some distance with state laws, but in the end, because of the federal regulations, it's true that we're really looking, the big change comes with a change in federal law. And I do agree with what both the guest testifiers or the invited testimony has said about the folks, if they're 18 and they're getting their CDL, they're going to be under much more rigorous training and much more careful decisions made by the owner of that equipment before they're allowed to drive the equipment. I mean, for example, I know Representative Tallarico worked for many years for Yusuf Ali Coal Mine, and I, many years ago, was driving a passenger vehicle up on the roads where they drive these enormous trucks, and I can't imagine that they would put anyone that's 18 years old driving those massive dump trucks unless they were 100% confident that person knew exactly what they were doing. And I think that accident statistics, I'm very familiar with the ones with drivers of cars showing that if you're under 25, you're at much greater risk. But I suspect if we had the detailed analysis of those with CDLs, the age difference probably doesn't show much meaningful difference in terms of the risk for driving, because the training really is much more extensive. So I'm very comfortable with what this bill does and applaud the senator for bringing it.
Representative Story.
Yes, I too have been reassured about the requirements of having a CDL, and it seems like it would be good for employment for younger people and good for the businesses.
Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll echo what Representative Klayman said. I actually at one time did provide training for quite a few people that were under 20 years old, and I can't even think of what the number would be right now. Trucks are a little easier, at least to move around, because most of them have automatic transmissions, but a little more difficult due to the fact that they're anywhere from 12 to 19 feet wide, so it was unusual. But some of the best drivers I'd seen, and everybody's a little bit different, and their learning curve is a little bit different, but Representative Klayman's right. When you have the confidence in that individual is when they begin to drive on their own. I guess I'll feel comfortable in saying this because of the color of my hair and my age. Something I did realize at one point in time, if I went back there, I know that all of the 18 and 19-year-olds have a much faster response time than I do. So when you're handling a piece of equipment like that, that's one of those critical things. And it's quite a bit different than a passenger vehicle, because I'll just speak for myself. When I was 19, driving a car was fun, but hauling coal and dirt was my job. So there was a different mental aspect to it as well, because there was a responsibility there that I will admit at 18 and 19 I didn't take with my own automobile, but I certainly did with my job.
Let me, just to be diligent here, open public testimony. Anyone here for public testimony? Seeing and hearing none. We have no one online for public testimony. I'll close public testimony. I think this is a good bill. It gets people more into the job world sooner, while in high school or just out of high school, instead of waiting. As far as the 21-year-old interstate limitation, I think that's not necessarily our battle to fight, but people like Abe's and our delegation in Washington, D.C. As far as who gets in more accidents at what age, I'll let the insurance companies handle that. Probably younger people tend to. They might have quicker reflexes, but I think they also have maybe not old and as wise as you are, Representative Tallarico. But all that being said, I think it's a good bill, and I support it. And I guess the question is, the will of the committee this late in session, do we want to just move it on out? I'm seeing nods all
around.
Sure, I'm
more than happy to move it.
Okay. Let me take a brief at ease so we can get our motion lined up. Record. Representative Klayman.
Mr. Chair, I move to report Senate Bill 75, version 31-LS0610/A with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations from the Transportation Committee.
Seeing and hearing no objections, the bill is so moved out of committee. That is our business for the day. We will gavel out and sign the documents, and our next meeting is Tuesday, May 14th. I don't know what we're doing, but we'll figure something out. Meeting's adjourned at 1:52.